The music that is connected with the book Small Game with author Blair Braverman, Michelle Good. We are going to be talking about that book today. It's the second book in our book club series. And Michelle read it this whole last month. And so we're going to talk with her a little about that. And then we'll visit with Blair Braverman about the book. And you'll be able to join in with your own thoughts about the book and questions for Michelle and questions for Blair Braverman as well. So looking forward to that. Here we are right in the midst of our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. And this is the largest source of funding for our programs. From listeners like you, we need your help. The drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. And so I hope you'll take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. And here to help me out, Keely Baltina, interim director of the Ideas Network, and one of my many bosses. I have a lot of them. She's almost two steps higher.
Well, you know, Larry, it takes a lot of people to keep you in line, but we're working through it, aren't we?
Yes, we are, and we're having a good time doing it. How are we doing so far?
We're doing well. We got 7 gifts last hour, and this hour we are looking for 15 more. So thank you so much to everyone who's already given. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
I say let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time, and let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We are Wisconsin Public Radio, so federal and state tax dollars, which do come from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR programs. It's voluntary listener contributions, though, that are actually the biggest piece of the support for WPR programs.
You do make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of programs on WPR possible. And because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Think about when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe a friend recommended one of the statewide talk shows or the Larry Mueller Show or the Great News, maybe a music program. Perhaps you were just scanning the dial and got stuck and then never left. I mean, no matter how you first found WPR, let's just admit it. Now you are hooked.
And whether it's been a few years or just a few months since you found us, your contribution of, let's say, $10 a month or $120, it supports the quality program that you've valued since the first time you listened. So be a part of making WPR possible. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
That's right. You can just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. This spring, member drive, Larry Mueller here with Keely Baltina. The programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support and your contribution of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a big difference for our entire community.
Mm-hmm. Also, we know you value your time. We value your time, too. So giving to WPR takes just a few minutes. You tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes to support the stations you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
just getting started here on the Larry Mueller Show. We are looking for 13 more people now to join in. You make WPR possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today only, treat yourself to a surprise with a WPR mystery thank you gift that Keeley might know. I don't know what the heck it is, but there's some speculation, and we'll be speculating as the program goes along. There are options available when you give $8 or $22 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Jamie in Milwaukee says, I especially love Larry Mueller and Central Time. I learn something new every single day and don't know what I'd do without WPR. Jamie, thank you so much. Kudos to you, Larry.
Oh, Jamie, thanks a bunch. I really appreciate it. Your gift, though, as you listen here to Keeley and I talk, remember, it's very powerful. Really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you so much. If you've contributed, if you haven't done it yet, well, why not do it right now? I would love to have that. You could do it while you're listening to me talk with our two guests on the show today. We're going to talk about the second book in our book club series on the show today. Its title is Small Game. It's a great book. I loved it. Author Blair Braverman will be with us in a bit to talk about the novel. But first, Michelle Good is here.
Hey, Larry.
Hi, Michelle. Of course, you know her as executive producer, host, and technical director of Chapter a Day, and she read Small Game this past month on the show. And we'll ask her about why she picked this book and take a peek behind the curtains of Chapter a Day. So I hope you'll join in as we talk with Michelle to begin the show. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. And you know what? Judy has some kudos for you. Let's start there. Ooh. Judy and Stephen.
Kudos are always good to start with.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Larry. Hey, Michelle. I want to say how much I appreciate your ability with voices. And it was particularly in this novel, but generally you do them so well. And it makes it so easy to follow because you can tell the voices of the various characters, you know, and not just Bullfrog. And what I want to know is how did that hurt your voice?
Bullfrog was definitely a challenge. When he said like a sentence, that was fine, but there were a couple places where he had good paragraph to say. And I would, it was one of those things I had to really keep my mouth lubricated. Because anytime it would dry out,
Bullfrog went away.
Yeah, well, Bullfrog, you know, he talks like this. So it's kind of a lack of actually, my voice isn't there. My speaking voice, I don't know. But yeah, it required a lot of lubrication. It didn't hurt my voice, but I don't know if you know this, we try and record, we call it live to tape in the professional business, but that basically means without stopping, live to tape. I did have to stop because I could feel my voice kind of wanting to just give way, not hurt, but yeah. Not to maintain that voice too long.
Yeah. Judy, thanks a bunch for calling.
Thanks, Judy.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Let's go back. And, you know, you've been with me on the show before, and I think we've talked a little about the history of Chapter a Day. But let's go back through that. A little history of Chapter a Day, when it got started, and so forth.
Well, in 2024, it will be our 85th year on the air. And the legend has it that one of the hosts was waiting for a guest to show up. Guest didn't show up. And so they picked up the novel that they had been reading and just started reading it on the air. And people enjoyed it and it kept on. And since then, it's gotten a little more technical. We have time that we have to manage. We edit the books. We're much not necessarily fussier about the books, but certain books just don't work for chapter day. If there are way too many characters or if it jumps around in time and space too much. So we put more thought into the books than just being like, hey, what are you reading? I'll read that. But yes, 85 years. And in those 85 years, I think there's only been 10 readers.
Yeah, that's
But we're
amazing.
Adding more and more and more, so...
How do you assign readers? I mean, you've got there are a really good group of readers.
You mean in terms of what they read?
Yeah.
Usually, everybody picks their own books.
Mm-hmm.
I am myself, Norman, and Jim are probably the three that get the most books sent to us.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my role of executive producer, I am now on the lookout for, especially for our newer readers like Baron and Melvin and Cynthia. It's hard to pick a book at first. Cynthia actually picked one, started to look at it, and then was handed me a cast of characters, and it was 25 characters. And she was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I said, well, maybe that shouldn't be your first book. So we're putting that one aside. But usually, when I start looking at a book, the person who's going to be reading it just starts reading it in my head. And so then they're the first person I offer the book to.
You know, for our book club selections, what one of the things that we kind of emphasize or look for are either a Wisconsin author or a book that is set in Wisconsin or about Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we look at it. How did you decide on Small Game? What got you interested?
Small Game, there definitely was the Wisconsin element, and the fact I was not that I know Blair Braverman, but I was like, oh, Blair Braverman, I've heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
She's been on the air. She's that Iditarod dog musher girl. But what appealed to me personally about this book was a couple of years back, there was a TV show, a summer replacement TV show called Siberia. And the premise of it was that it was a reality show, and they billed it as a reality show. So if you went onto the website, it looked like every other reality show. Well, on day three, people started dying. And yet, if you went to the website, you still thought it was this legitimate reality show. And I thought the concept was so great. And then when I read Blair's book, that idea of a reality show gone wrong reminded me of that TV show that I was so fond of that was canceled after like four episodes.
there was no
that
one
was
left.
Really what appealed to me. I was like, ooh, I wonder if it's anything like Siberia.
Do you get to listen to audiobooks? Do you have favorite readers?
I don't actually listen much to audiobooks. We end up, and I'm sure you do too, reading so many books.
Yeah.
And even now that we're delving more into the archives, I get to listen to all those chapter a day archive things first. So that's kind of my audiobook collection. And of those, I love Carl. I just love his voice.
He was a great guy first, but
mm-hmm.
he had a wonderful voice. And when I started at Wisconsin Public Radio, I kept thinking, oh, I wish I could sound like Carl.
Carl was pretty amazing in terms of, I actually auditioned twice for Chapter Day. And the first time it was pulled, my audition was pulled. Norman came to me and said, yeah, I listened to your audition and I thought you were an actress. And I said, I am an actress. And he said, why weren't you acting in your audition? I said, because I'm trying to copy Jim and Carl. And I saw Carl shortly after that, and he said, I heard your story about your audition. And he said, we asked you to audition because we want you. We don't want a bad copy of me or Jim. So I thought that was very generous.
Well, you're going to stay with me for a little while, aren't
okay.
you? Because Blair's joining us coming up here and just...
Yep, and you need to make some money.
Well,
get some members.
We try. I've got the perfect person to do it.
I've heard Keely
Baltina, mm-hmm. that wonderful voice of hers, and all that great enthusiasm that she brings to every one of these little events that we have here. Mm-hmm. And she's here partly for that, but also because she wants to support me a bit as we talk about her drive. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
We really do. It is listener support that is the biggest source of funding for WPR programs, programs like The Larry Mueller Show, programs like Chapter a Day. That's why your gift of really any amount now makes a huge difference. So give at WPR.org, or you can use the phone. Call 888-202-2552.
And we have, what, about 37 or so minutes left in this hour, and we're looking for 10 more gifts, 10 more people to join in. When you give, you fund The Larry Mueller Show and all the other programs you count on. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Many of us are committed to making our communities better. Certainly people at WPR try to do that through our work. But think about what you do. Maybe you help out at the local school, or you pick up litter in your neighborhood. It doesn't have to be a big deal. You just see a wrapper on the ground. You know it shouldn't be there, and you toss it. This is the same concept. Your financial contribution to WPR makes the community a better place.
And your investment, together with donations from others, makes the news, the talk, the music on WPR available to everyone. And we're proud to be an important part of the Wisconsin community. And in large part, that's thanks to you. I hope you'll join in with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I like that word investment, Larry. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good reflection about what happens when you invest in Wisconsin Public Radio. You get a whole lot back. Plus, the easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustainer. That means your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it continues month after month, year after year. So get started now. Become a sustainer. It'll feel great. Do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my source
for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our spring member drive. Larry Mueller here with Keely Baltina. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our programs, and that's why your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
It really does. When 10 more people join during this hour of the Larry Mueller Show, we will meet our goal. These aren't arbitrary numbers. These hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking you can't donate enough to make a difference, I hope you will think again. You can give $10 a month and provide a bunch. You can provide journalism, quality journalism, world-class music, conversations on the Larry Mueller Show. Mm-hmm. There's a lot for you and for our entire community.
Your gift absolutely makes a difference. Give now, $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you. Every gift is important. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now, so, so, so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. That's the music that you heard on Chapter a Day for the book that we're talking about now. It's the second book in our book club series, and it's titled Small Game. Michelle Good, still with hanging around with me here a little bit to talk with Blair Braverman. Blair, a writer, dog sledder, adventurer, and her latest book is the novel Small Game. I hope you had a chance to read it, or perhaps I hope you had a chance to listen to Michelle read it on Chapter Day. It's a fascinating book. I really enjoyed it a lot. And I think you might as well. If you haven't read it already, I hope you'll give it a read for sure. Blair Braverman, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, I'm so happy to be here with you and with Michelle. It's just such an honor.
Hi, Blair.
Hi, Michelle.
Well, I tell you what, this was a great, great book. I had so much fun reading it and listening. I didn't hear all of Michelle's readings, but I heard quite a few, and I thought she did a wonderful
incredible. She's absolutely amazing.
I had so much fun reading it. Like, I think I emailed you at one point where I was like, I love doing Bullfrog. I could do Bullfrog all day long.
Oh man, well, Bullfrog.
You do Bullfrog all day long.
What possessed you? I mean, this is your first novel. How'd you get that in your head that you wanted to do a novel and this one in particular?
You know, it wasn't that I wanted to do a novel so much as I wanted to do this story. I had the idea for a reality show where, spoilers, are we doing spoilers in this conversation?
I don't know. It's hard. You know, there are going to be questions that come up that might turn into spoiler.
True. I have one.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just warn listeners right now. Spoiler alert. If you want to read the book fresh, then, you know, turn this off right now. Send it a little donation instead to WPR and come back later. But I had an idea for a reality show where the crew disappeared. And a survival reality show, and all of the contestants had to figure out, you know, that they were actually in a real survival situation. And I was so curious how different people would respond to that. You know, if you sign up for a, you know, what's purportedly a survival situation, what's the difference between that and a real one? And what's the line when you cross it, and would people be in denial? And I just thought it was such an interesting question to me, to the point where I even, you know, I like called my friend who writes fiction, and I was like, you should write this book because I want to read it. And she was not interested. And eventually I realized, like, if I'm so obsessed with the story, if I want to know what happens, like, I guess I'm a writer too. I could figure it out myself.
One of the things that really appealed to me, apart from the premise of the book, which hooked me right away, but the idea that you were a reality show contestant. And so there were so many things in the book where I was like, how much of this actually happened to her? And there were a couple of things where I was like, oh, yeah, for sure, that happened to her. But, like, did people try and sneak you food? And how much of your, like, real-life experience did you put in the book? Or did you sign, like, waivers?
I was going to ask the same question because I read your own account of being on the reality show Naked and Afraid. And I'm also kind of a fan, to be perfectly honest, of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
The TV show.
Yeah.
And so for me, that background, I'm reading some of this and say, oh, I bet that's how they actually do it. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, some of the logistics, you know, when I learned about, you know, just very basic things like microphones and stuff, I definitely got that from my experience on the show. I was on Naked and Afraid in South Africa, and it was a really interesting experience. I made it for 2 weeks out there, and then I got a violin spider bite on my face, and I left and went to the hospital, so I didn't make it the whole three-week challenge. But it was still a really formative experience. And what I have to say about being out there is my crew, the camera crew, was so good. They were so professional. They were like so respectful. Like they were fantastic. And even with that absolutely incredible crew, they would still leave at night. And I would think, what if they never come back? What if they don't show up in the morning? We don't know where we are. Like sometimes they'd be a little late coming back the next morning. And I'd be like, this is it. Now we're on our own. So that's where the idea came from. And then, of course, you know, that was never a real fear I had because I trusted the crew so much.
Right.
But I began thinking of what would a reality show look like that's sort of such a mess that the crew really could disappear. And if you want to know what actually happened when I was on the show, you can watch it. It's called Stomping Grounds because there were a lot of elephants. That's the name of the episode. But I also wrote about it for Outside Magazine. If you look up Naked and Afraid Outside Magazine, I wrote a long story about behind the scenes. And if you're really interested, like you said, Larry, you read that. You can read it and compare it to the book and see if there are any similarities. I would say the actual events are not similar at all, but the emotions that I felt out there went into the characters of the book.
You were so hungry you wanted to eat an elephant. I was,
thinking about food, thinking about the fact that you're in such a vulnerable situation and it's a performance for millions of people and sort of the scariness of that what you're going through, this really, physical, vulnerable thing, someone else is going to turn into a story for millions of people to watch. And for me as a writer, like that was a surprising source of anxiety for me. The fact that someone else would be compiling the story, not me. I realized I have a little bit of a control freak about it. I like telling my own stories. They ended up doing a beautiful job. But all of those emotions, thinking like being afraid of judgment, like people are going to watch me for entertainment and think, and make fun of me and say they would have done it better while they're sitting on their couch. All of those things were emotions and conversations we had out there.
Yeah. Well, Irene and Phillips has a question, and I knew this was going to come up at some point, and I'm reluctant to bring it up now.
I bet you I know what the question is.
Irene, go ahead. You have a question about the end of the book.
Exactly. And pardon me for my raspy voice. I had surgery last week, but I did hear the book, and it was great. And I loved it. But I was shocked by the ending where it...
Don't say what it was, but you were shocked by the ending. Let's put it that way. All right. And I've seen some online comments about that, too. I mean, people kind of argue a little bit about the ending of the book. Blair.
Yeah, absolutely. Irene, thank you for bringing that question. The ending is intentionally, there's a little bit left up to interpretation. And, oh gosh, how do I talk about this without completely giving away the ending? It's a little bit of a puzzle.
I thought it was kind of masterful.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because you tied everything up very neatly and quickly and... From a writer's perspective, I was like, that was brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
I liked it too, and I had another friend who just, there were too many things left untied. And I thought, no. When I read that wind up, I thought, in my mind, I could picture the other pieces falling together.
But it is an interesting choice. Why did you make that choice, I guess? Because you could have gone on for a couple of chapters, a lot of chapters.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have been tired. We were
No, we were eating it up, that's for sure. I think that's probably, that may be why some people were, confused or they wanted it to go on more.
Yeah.
Longer. What do you think?
I think that's what it is. We want more.
The arc of the story is about Mala's transformation. And originally, my title for the whole book was Civilization, my working title, and I thought of it as a verb, the civilization of Mara, in that this main character, Mara, is ironically learning to live with other people for the first time while she's trapped out in the wilderness. And she's someone who has really struggled to feel agency over her life. She's raised by preppers. She just sort of drifts into a job at a survival school because it's the only thing she knows how to do. She drifts onto this TV show because it's sort of one of the first active decisions she's making about her life. And so we see her become more and more proactive over the course of the book. And yeah. For me, there's a decision that Mara makes at the end. She comes back from her journey, and she reaches, I'm trying to be careful here with what I say. Mm-hmm. She reaches the others, and she makes a declaration. She makes a decision for the group about what they're going to do. And it's an important decision. And to me, that is the end of the book, is we see Mara's complete transformation into someone who can make this decision, not just for herself, but for everyone.
Yeah.
And once that happens, to me, the book ended, and everything after that was sort of like throat clearing. And, you know, it could have kept going, but the engine of the book ended when Mara made that decision. And so for me, I wanted to, you know, provide the information that I thought was important enough for readers to discuss and to go on, but sort of get out of the way. Once the engine of the book had ended, I didn't want to keep it going too far. And I also, logistically, I thought, you know, they do make it out of the wilderness at the end. We get a little glimpse forward into that. But practically speaking, there wouldn't really be a great way for me to write that. It would change things so much. And to have it change that much at the very end, like giving them scenes of being discovered and going to the hospital,
yeah,
and, you know, being on news shows, it would just be so different from the tone of the entire book that I couldn't see the narrative following them all the way out. I just wanted readers to know they're going to get out.
Blair Braverman, our guest today, and it's our pick, our book of the month, sort of the book of the every other month club. Blair Braverman, and her book is it's called Small Game. I know many of you have read it. If you have a question or comment, you can join in at 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. Here we are in our spring radio member drive. Keely Baltina joins me back. Keely?
Hey, Larry.
I'm glad to have you here as we talk about our support of our audience. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support's the largest source of our funding. So this drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've got 20 minutes left of this hour of the Larry Mueller Show. We are looking for 6 more people to join in, and we want to say thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't given, why not do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
We've been hearing about this novel, Small Game, both from the author, right, our Wisconsin Blair Braverman, and also from Michelle Good, who read it during Chapter a Day. I love it when all of these different pieces of WPR can come together and we can learn at the same time. I also just want to get in here that Pat in New Lisbon says, I enjoy Larry Mueller's informative and often humorous information about bugs and birds and plants and other life in Wisconsin. That's another piece of the Larry Mueller Show. This is the kind of content that you come for when you are tuning in to this program.
And as a donor, you get to decide, how much should I give in support of this show and all the other shows? Maybe it's $100 or $200 a month.
That could be the right amount. Really, any gift is important. That could be what you spend on takeout or entertainment. When you start adding it up and realize how much you spend on things that you enjoy and things that make your life better, those also apply to listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide the amount that's right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up, on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
David, thank you so much. I hope you will join David and go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Keely Baltina. Your support during our drive makes the programs you rely on possible, and your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
We have 17 minutes left in this hour of The Larry Mueller Show. We are looking for 6 people to join in. That helps keep us on track and make our fundraising goals for the programs you enjoy. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today only, you can treat yourself to a surprise with a WPR mystery thank you gift. There are options available when you give $8 or $22 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I want to dispel a rumor here. I am not part of the gift. I will not be taking people out for dinner.
What?
As part, you know, I have to admit it. It's come up. It's been a rumor.
I bet. Larry, thank you so much for clearing that up for us, because that was really what I was thinking about. It's good to be transparent, even though it's a surprise. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to mislead people here. Oh, funny stuff, Larry.
Well, you know, what about sustainers?
Oh, they're super important. Mm-hmm. Sustainers are the backbone of WPR's fundraising. It's easy to become one right now. You set up ongoing monthly donations from a bank account or a credit card. You do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and that's reliable support for the programs you love.
Sadie in Cottage Grove says, I always get so much more than I pay for when I donate to WPR. Well, what about you? Your gift, very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with a couple of guests for you right now. Michelle Good of Chapter a Day. She read the book Small Game, written by Blair Braverman. And Blair Braverman joins us as well. And I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts or questions about Blair, about Michelle, or about the book itself. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. Blair, you know, I should have probably done this right away in the beginning, but for those who haven't read the book, give us the plot. You've got a handful of people who are taken on a helicopter.
That's right. So there's a small group of people who are selected for a survival reality show in an undisclosed wilderness. It's based on, I would say, right along the line between northern Wisconsin and the UP. That's where I really went out in the woods and based the nature in the book on the surroundings. They are blindfolded, flown in a helicopter, dropped into a lake in the wilderness, so they have no idea where they are, and they are challenged to survive there in order to win money. And it's sort of a shady operation, I would say. You get some weird vibes from the crew right away, but then something goes terribly wrong, and it turns from a survival reality show into a real survival situation.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And unlike the Survivor TV show that I mentioned earlier, in this one, The whole group would, under the premise was that everyone, if they were able to survive this experience, they were all going to win.
Working together.
Absolutely. It's, purportedly collaborative.
Purportedly collaborative. Michelle, you wondered about the names.
I did, because I thought it was interesting that I didn't realize that we never knew anybody's last name until the book was finished. You know, I was writing the promotional materials for the show, and I was like, oh yeah, what is Mara's last name? And then I went back and I was like, we never know. She's just Mara. That's an interesting choice. How did you make that choice?
You know, I sort of picture like on a reality show where, you know, when someone's face pops up and then like their name appears in one word about them, like Kyle, Boy Scout, like how they keep showing you that to remind you who people are. I sort of imagined it like that. And also it just felt natural, like they're meeting each other, you know, standing in a little meadow in the woods. I don't know if people would introduce each other by last names. But there is a moment where one character mentions, where Ashley is talking to Kyle and uses his last name, and it sort of reveals she knows more about him and knows him better and cares more about him than some of the others realized.
I'd forgotten that. Dennis in Two Rivers has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. When I listen to books, which I do on weekdays on Chapter a Day, and then on weekends I listen to books from the library. And I wonder, well, as far as authors balancing the filler and the action, because instead of just having constant movement, sometimes it's just like, I guess, kind of taking a breath and figure, okay, well, it's time for the action to take a rest. And I suppose in a way for Blair, it could be considered mush.
Mush. Yeah, got it. Blair, comment.
Yeah, Dennis, that's such a good craft question. You know, a lot of it is just sort of sense, in the same way that I imagine, I mean, I am not a musician, but you know how musicians will sort of craft like lulls and then intense moments into their music. When I'm working on a book, what I'll do is I'll take all the scenes and I will cut them up on little strips of paper and cover my floor with those pieces of paper and arrange them and rearrange them until it feels like they're flowing really well and they're moving logically from one to the next. And it also feels balanced so that we aren't going too long without, you know, a dramatic moment. And we also aren't having too much intensity to the point where like the reader is going to become exhausted and not be able to sustain that energy. And you can think of it as little, now I don't know where I heard this metaphor. And so some writer said this and, you know, I wish I could give them credit, but if you think of those little Hot Wheel cars on tracks that have like, they go around a loop and at some point in the loop, there's a little like wheel that makes them go faster. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I'm not describing it very well.
Yeah.
A narrative is a little bit like that. Like if you give that little burst of energy, if you go through, you know, the point in the Hot Wheels track where the car is going to get like squirted forward by an engine, then you can coast for a while, but you can't get too slow before you like add a burst of speed again. I did not describe that very well, but basically we do try to create a balance. And in particular, like if you're going to have a really quiet, slow moment, and those moments are important and they're beautiful and they give you a chance to breathe and they give emotion a chance to develop, you need to make sure that you're sort of bookending that with enough action to keep the reader going. You can't just have too much sort of sitting in emotion and observation, and you also can't have too much action.
Well, I think, too, that's where you learn a lot about the characters in those moments.
Absolutely. I mean, they're both so important.
So I think that's really, you know, and when I think about Mara, for example, I mean, I think about how she starts as somebody who doesn't seem to really care too much about anybody. She does not even her boyfriend, I don't think. She was ready to...
No, not really.
Yeah.
And she undergoes quite a change through the book, I think, especially, well, in her relationship to everybody, I guess, but especially Ashley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's very socially awkward when she first starts. You know, I think part of that's being an only child. Part of that is, you know, living that sort of survival lifestyle where they were out in the middle of nowhere. And then she...
As an only child, I hope I'm not like
that. Well, I'm an only child, so I can kind of relate to being like a late bloomer who's socially awkward.
Yeah.
I was too. I was like, you know, really attached to my parents, and we moved a lot. So I could relate to that part of Mara, too. I thought it was interesting that you mentioned where it took place. We might need to get back to that.
You know, I'm going to that's a cliffhanger for a minute because I have spied Keely Baltina and she's looking at me like, you know, it's time that we should talk a little bit about the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. I have nothing to do with this. It's all her fault. No, no, actually, I'm glad to be able to talk with Keely Baltina about this, about your gift. You know, your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of our funding. So I hope you'll step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and time's running out here at this hour.
It is. We have just more than 5 minutes left. We're still looking for six more people to join in. I think, Larry, the issue is the conversation is too compelling. So if we could make it a little boring, then maybe people would have the time and space to call and give their gifts because, hey, listen, your gift right now is so important. When you give, you support the programs that you listen to every day.
And I want to thank you very much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time's right now here as we go to the top of the hour. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This conversation has gone in so many directions. We've heard more personal things about individual people. We've talked about the craft of writing a novel, of delivering it on Chapter a Day. We've talked about the story itself. This is the kind of in-depth conversation that enriches your life. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and all of the other hours here on WPR possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes and make your gift.
And you can treat yourself to a surprise this member drive with our mystery thank you gifts.
Ooh.
And we have two options available at $8 or $22 a month. Your gift is top secret, known only to Keely Baltina and a handful of other people, and I don't know, and I'm telling you right now, I don't know, but there's a couple of gifts, and there's a new logo involved somewhere along the line, and all that's going to be yours when you contribute either $8 a month, and then there's a bulk thing of some sort for $22 a month. Ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And by the way, this unique offer is only available today.
Absolutely. We've just got a couple of minutes left in this hour. And I love the use of unique. I mean, we know a lot in this world. It's kind of fun to have a surprise knowing that it's got your WPR logo on it. Still looking for six people to join in. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy, the programs you rely on, the programs that benefit you and the entire community every day.
Hi, I'm Lance from Madison.
And I'm Cheryl.
And we listen to WPR basically nonstop.
Our hobby is riding our tandem, and so we listen to WPR with shared earbuds while we're riding a tandem. We're pretty addicted to WPR. We love the programming.
And it's so wonderful to listen to programming that is not interrupted by commercials. Mm-hmm. That is just an outstanding attribute of WPR. Oh, golly.
We just love it.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller with Keely Baltina. We're up to the top of the hour now. And Blair Braverman will certainly be staying with us. I don't know if Michelle Good's, she may have something else going on. But in the moment, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Tyson in Waukesha says, I'm lucky to be able to listen to the Larry Mueller Show on my work lunch break, and it always gives me great ideas. So shout out to the Larry Mueller Show and this team. Thank you so much for all you do. And when you donate, you support the Larry Mueller Show and all of the other programs here on WPR.
So if you haven't given yet, now would be a wonderful time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. We'll be taking a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us. And then we'll be back with Blair Braverman to talk more about her book, Small Game. I'm Larry Mueller. Contribute now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about the second book in our book club series, Small Game. And Blair Braverman is our guest. Blair is a writer, dog sledder, adventurer, and with us by phone, Michelle Good with me as well, who read Blair's book on Chapter Day, just finished it up last Friday, as a matter of fact. So did you read or listen to the book on Chapter a Day? Love to hear your comments and take your questions. You can join in at 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Lou in Ashland has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Lou.
Hey, good afternoon. What a wonderful show. Right to the point, how do we as writers not edit as we write? The non-writers say, oh, just, you know, get what's in your head, get it out on paper. But it's for us writers, it's hard to not edit, to not dwell on something, and then you don't move forward in your writing. And it takes an extraordinary long time. I have 2 movie ideas, several book ideas, so I need to get these things out of my head and on paper. But how do you proceed?
Hey, Lou, that's a great question. I think, you know, for one thing, if your process is to edit while you're writing and that works for you, then there's nothing wrong with that. But it sounds like you're getting sort of stalled on that and having trouble moving forward. You know, I've heard of writers writing on, like, there's a device called an Alpha Smart. You can get it on eBay for like $20 where you type into a keyboard, but you can't really see what you're typing. And then you plug it into your computer and it all appears on the screen. I've heard of people using something like that, so they literally can't edit while they're writing, and they have to get that first draft out. And the other thing to keep in mind is just, like, try to be bad. Try to be bad. Be like, I am intentionally being bad on this first draft because I'm going to go through and change everything, and sit down and give yourself a goal of writing something poorly. And if you write it too well, you're failing your goal, and see if that allows you to get more out without so much self-judgment that's stopping you.
So, yeah. Blair, do you recommend not even going back to editing at all until you finish? Just, like, write it out, and then, because what happens to me is I get, like, I write the, you know, I don't know, 10 pages that are in my head, and then I get stuck in those 10 pages, just rehashing them over and over. So do you suggest just keep going? Don't go back and edit until you're done?
You know, it really depends. So my husband, Quince Mountain, is a writer as well, and he will make every sentence perfect before he continues. It's a very, very different process than mine, but that's what works for him. So I don't want to say one is better, but it's about figuring out what works for you. And for me, I try to keep an entire piece even. So if it's an essay or if it's a whole book, what I want to do is get basically the entire book out on paper before I polish anything too much. I want to keep the whole thing in a sort of similar state of doneness, because I know I'm going to end up going back and changing things and moving things around, and it feels unbalanced. And actually, if you have, say, a scene that you've polished and it's so beautiful and it's so good and it's perfect, it's like really crystalline writing, it's the best writing you've ever done, you can end up with a problem, because what if in the end that scene doesn't end up fitting in the book, and then you keep it in because you're so attached to the writing?
Good point.
And it might be the best thing you've ever written, but it doesn't make the book better if it doesn't fit in the book. So that's the trap you want to avoid.
Oh, boy. Lou, thank you so much for calling. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Brian emailed that your book, Welcome to the GD Ice Cube, is a great read. It would appeal to dog people and fans of Norway and Berkey and so forth. Sort of a shout out for your other book, and you know,
thank you, Brian.
Did you have? I mean, it is a different process writing a novel versus writing where you're. It's not a novel. It's straightforward. Is that was it more hard? Was it harder for you to do the novel or?
The novel was easier because I didn't have to fact check it.
Yeah.
I mean, so I had, you know, I fact checked, like, trying to make sure that if I mentioned plants, they really grew in that area and they'd be blooming at that time and things like that. Narratively, it was very similar because I write narrative nonfiction. So I use novelistic techniques in my nonfiction. I write dialogue. There's exposition. You know, people might read it and say this is like a novel. It's the same storytelling techniques. But for nonfiction, there's the added challenge of every single person who's in the book, you're thinking, how does this affect them? You want to talk to the people and say, how do you feel about this portrayal? Is this how you remember it? You're looking up all these facts, and that research takes an incredible amount of time. So writing a novel, I was able to use those same techniques, but with a lot more freedom, because I wasn't, I didn't care about being accurate to how things really happened. So, anything went.
And Sue emailed, one of our listeners emailed to ask, what's the significance of the title, Small Game?
Oh, boy. That title came out in a very funny way. We were trying to think of a new title, and I was sitting with my husband and my wonderful agent, Andrea Blatt, on the phone, and we needed a new title. And we had thought of everything. We were so slap happy at this point. We'd been on the phone for like 3 hours, just like saying words to each other, every single person. And like nothing was working. Everything sounded like a caricature of a bad survival school, which I didn't want the title to sound like. And we were just throwing out every word we could possibly think of. And then finally, and then my husband said small game, and it was one of the words. And like Andrea and I both stopped and we were like, wait a moment, we liked it. And then we ran it by everyone else, and everyone liked it, and we love the idea that it gets at the fact that this survival experiment is just meant to be a game, but it's going to be something bigger, and of course they're eating small game, and, you know, things might be eating them, and it's also rather funny, because when the book first went up on Amazon, it got, you know, they linked to an author. The author appears with the book, and it linked to someone who had written a book about hunting small game, like a manual, which I thought was hilarious. I wanted to keep it that way.
But how is the book done, by the way? It's got to have done really pretty well.
You know, I don't totally have the numbers, but my understanding is, I've been hearing from a lot of readers. We made the long list for indie bestsellers in the country. And I think it just did very well. There was like an audiobook pushed last week, and it sold a good number of audiobooks. So we're really excited about that.
Any thought to a sequel?
I'd love to. Oh my gosh, that'd be so much fun.
I would love to hear where those characters go.
I think it would be interesting to do a sequel from a different perspective, maybe from Bullfrog's perspective.
Yeah, or even Lenny's.
I don't know if I could get in his head. I do love bullfrog,
so yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Then you'd have to read that on chapter, and you'd have to do Bullfrog's voice again.
For the whole book. I could rip things up.
I can do it just so I get to hear you. It's a long time to get you to voice Bullfrog for like 10 hours straight.
Oh, man. Somebody else is wondering here. What characters, some authors say that their characters seem to decide their actions, despite what the writer wanted to do himself or herself. Any of that happen for you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, as the characters develop, your plans for them don't necessarily pan out because, you know, they surprise you sometimes and they become richer and more complicated. I would say Ashley surprised me the most. And particularly the ways that she breaks down were not necessarily things I had planned. But felt very real.
Yeah. Ashley takes some dark twists.
Yeah, she does. And it's been so interesting because I meet with book groups. If you read this for your book group, you can reach out to me and I'll zoom in and, you know, talk with you all. It's really fun. And she's very divisive. People either, yeah. I don't know if they love her, but they really sympathize with her. They think she's very human and they have a lot of heart for her. Or they think she's an absolute villain and they can't stand her. And they think, how dare, you know, Mara love her. And I'm trying to figure out the pattern. It does seem like there's one book group pointed out that there was like an age thing where people who are over 50 see Ashley as human and people who are under 50 hate her.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're afraid of being like her. I don't know. But I don't know if that pattern holds up. So if you have a book group and you read it, or if you have a strong opinion, you can always email me on my website and tell me, and I'll add it to the data point.
Well, you know, the characters in the book, every one of them I could recognize from the Survivor TV show.
Yeah, right. They start as archetypes. Mm-hmm. You know, but every archetype sort of reveal, even if you fit into an archetype, you're still a human underneath it all.
And obviously they all change quite a bit. Even Bullfrog.
Yeah, he softens. He definitely comes to love those two girls.
Yeah, he really does.
Well, it was a joy to read. Was it a joy for you to read it? Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. It was one of those the emotions of the characters were so easy to access. It just some books it does take some work to get into the characters. And this one, it was like I opened it, I knew the characters right away, and it just went from there.
You two are going to make me cry.
well deserved. Well, you know, that comes back to you.
I really got a kick out of it. I really enjoyed reading this book. And frankly, it's been a while now since I wrote it. We were going to talk about it, but it's worked out really well to have Michelle read it for chapter and then to have you on right after it was over. It has worked out really, really well, and I hope you'll write some more fiction. I mean, I like your other book too.
But, I think the thing I'm working on now is looking like fiction. We'll see how it turns out.
It's looking like fiction.
Well, it's in the early stages. We'll see. I don't like to, you know, have too many expectations for things in the early stages, but it's on my floor and it's fictional.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and Blair, thank you so much for writing the book for sure, and also
for sharing it with the listeners
and with Michelle and myself. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It's just such an honor, and you two are so lovely. You just made my month. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Blair. Blair Braverman, writer, dog sledder, adventurer, And her latest book is the novel Small Game, and she's working on another one. But if you haven't read this one yet, I hope you will take a look, because you're going to like what you see with that book. Here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. And Keely Baltina joins back because our goal is to keep bringing you topics like our book club selection, Small Game, and the many other topics that we do. Your support makes this happen because listener support's our largest source of funding. And so hope you'll give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, so far during the Larry Miller Show, we have heard from 8 donors. So thank you so much to everyone who gave. This is kind of a cool hour because we're moving from the Larry Miller Show into Chapter a Day. But the content on the Larry Miller Show was also content on Chapter a Day. We've got all of this convergence. So our goal for both of these programs is to get 15 gifts by 1 o'clock. This goal is set up to make sure we're in a good position to pay for the Larry Miller Show and Chapter a Day, all of the other programs we have here in the months to come.
Hope we can meet this goal. You can help us meet it. It happens one gift at a time. And let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I just have to say, here on the Larry Miller Show and on our other talk programs that Wisconsin Public Radio makes, we work so hard, these producers and these hosts and the executive producers and the board operators. It's just an incredible team effort, and everyone is focused on how to make your life better every day. And here on the Larry Miller Show, maybe some days it's practical advice. Maybe other days it's something that affects your community or a conversation like today that's more intellectual and also kind of personal. I mean, we talk about Wisconsin wildlife and things going on in the university and health issues and consumer protection and even sports. It's just an incredible variety, Larry.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Keely. And as you're listening to Keely and me talk, I hope you'll help make this show possible when you give. And your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 keeps this show going and all the shows that you've come to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Today, we have a unique offer. Larry, it's very exciting.
Have we ever done this? Have we ever had a mystery gift before?
No, it's very exciting. We have a mystery thank you gift when you support your favorite WPR program. So you'll receive a secret WPR logo item or two that's perfect for showing off your public radio pride. So you can ask for a mystery gift when you donate at WPR.org, or if you choose to call, the number is 888-202-2552. And there are options available at $8 a month and also at $22 a month.
All right, there you have it. Get your mystery gift right now. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Public Radio. Hey, look, I think it's a great source for news, for talk, for music, and we've all created this together, especially the talk shows. You've really helped. Our audience is a big part of my show, for sure, and the other locally produced shows as well. And we've created a nice community, and I think we've created an impact all over the state and far beyond to provide information, connection, and inspiration.
Yeah, and it's your support that enriches the lives of hundreds of thousands of listeners. You make this possible. Make your impact now. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
When you became a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, I think you took an important first step. Now's the time to take that next step and become a financial supporter.
That's an important step because WPR relies on listener support. It's not a difficult thing, though. It's very easy to do. You decide how much you'd like to give. Think maybe $10 a month. That's $120 a year. It's a great starting point. And then make your gift. It takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting WPR right now, it's a great thing to do. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how much you'd like to pay.
Super simple, and your gift supports the stories and the programs and the conversations that keep you connected to the world. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Maybe a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day, great value. Less than a cup of coffee or soda or a day of cell phone service. And you also get the mystery gift, too, I think.
Yes. Because a dollar a day, I mean, yes, I know there are different lengths of months. I get that. But a dollar a day comes out to about $30 a month. And you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. You can ask for the mystery gift. Make your gift now in whatever amount is right for you. The important thing is that you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've already made a donation this year, or certainly if you're a sustaining member, I want to thank you so much for that. And maybe as a sustainer, this is a time to add a little extra gift of, say, $50 or $100 or whatever at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Join in this drive. Thank you for your extra support for the programs you enjoy every day.
And now is the time. Give while you're thinking about it. It takes just a few minutes to make that contribution to WPR.
Don't put it on a to-do list. Take care of it
okay,
right now.
I feel personally attacked. Larry, look at my to-do list. It is already too long. And I
oh,
feel
my
like
goodness.
You are directing this at me not to put it on the to-do list because you know I'm not going to get to it.
But you're a sustaining member, so
yeah,
you don't have to worry about it.
Deal.
You can do it. But there are others who are not sustaining members and who maybe haven't contributed before, and or maybe they've contributed in the past. And okay, I haven't done it for a year or two. Maybe it's time for me to do it now. Mm. Don't put it off. Just take care of it right now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make that contribution. Takes a couple of minutes, and you'll feel good all day, the rest of the day, supporting the programs you love.
Absolutely. We have 11 more people we're looking to join in as we move out of the Larry Mueller Show and into Chapter a Day. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, you can treat yourself to that surprise WPR mystery thank you gift. There are options available when you give at 8 or, what is it? Oh, 22, which is kind of an odd number. $8 or $22 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Here we are coming up to the end of the hour, Keeley, and it's... You know, it's always a lot of fun to host this program, and we have this great group led by Keeley, and then our own group on the Larry Mueller Show, and we like to think of ourselves as a little community group, and we're connected to the larger community that you are a part of. And I hope you'll help us out during this drive. Your gift, it's very powerful, really makes a difference, and I hope you'll go to WPR.org and make that gift, or phone and make it at 888-202-2552. Thank you so much for listening and for being part of our WPR community.